Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson. We are looking into creation, so it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And I've got an interesting article that I just got from the San Diego Union-Tribune from a good friend of mine named David. And it's dated July 21st, 2006. And for years, the scientists have been telling us that we have descended from apes or chimpanzees, and that's evolution. Everything's based, you see, on evolution with them. But then they started looking at the genetics, and the genetics are so funny. They make me laugh, because when I was in high school, I took genetics, and we had a really good biology, and I went on and took zoology, and I didn't do well in that either, but they were fun to me. I just wasn't a great studier. Boy, I got into genetics, and I liked it. I don't know what it was about it, but it just made sense to me. Now, one thing I learned in genetics class is that hairiness is a dominant characteristic. And you would think if evolution were the thing, that if it were truth, let's apply hairiness to genetics. And let's say we came from chimpanzees. Why have we become less hairy if we came from chimpanzees and hairiness is a dominant characteristic? You see, none of this stuff made sense to me. And I wasn't even a Christian at that time, but I'm putting two and two together and it was coming up some oddball number. It just wasn't working. And see, it was all evolution-based, which is a lie, and it's untruth, and nothing will stand in the light. If what we believe to be truth does not stand in the light of the scriptures, it indeed is not truth. So they checked the chimp genome, and when they checked it out, it led to literally too many questions. I'm quoting right out of the San Diego Union-Tribune. This thing just led to too many questions because there were 35 million differences between us and chimpanzees. That's too much to figure out, Jonathan Rothberg, 454's chairman, said in a telephone interview. I love these scientific articles because some of them, you can see in the article, these scientists are just scratching their heads and they're troubled. They come up with theories and then all of a sudden they look deeper into space and whoa, they get troubled because God pulls the rug out from underneath them. Where were you when God created the heavens and he formed the earth? Declare to me, God asks in Job, if you have understanding. Where were you? And they were certainly not there. So that 35 million differences is just too much to figure out, and I'm using their language. Now, back to these scriptures that I gave you the last time on the difference between the Jeremiah 4:23 flood and the Noah flood. Let me look at Jeremiah 4:23 real quickly, and I'll read that again. We're going to compare it. And we all know the Noah flood, right? That the waters covered the earth for about a year, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. The fountain of the deep broke up, and there was no mention of rain until Noah. Did you know that? But up until that time of Noah, a mist came up from the ground and watered the surface of the earth. And the sky opened up, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Now look at this flood compared to it, and you will find there will be over 20 differences between this flood and Noah's flood. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, tohu vabohu, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they were trembling, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus has the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. The whole land will be desolate, but I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back. So now let's look at these differences between Noah's flood and this flood. In Noah's flood, the earth was not made waste. In this, where Satan made the earth a wilderness, the earth became waste. That's difference number one. The earth was empty. It was void. In Noah's flood, it was not. They were just lifted up like on the floods, and they were brought back down. The earth still had man on it and animals. Number three, the earth was made totally dark. In Noah's flood, it was not totally dark. And number four, there was no light from heaven. And there was light in Noah's time, you see, because there were days. There were no days mentioned in Lucifer's when the earth became a wilderness, but days were mentioned in Noah's flood. All the vegetation was destroyed. The fruitful land became a wilderness, the farms and so on. It became destroyed. Vegetation was left in Noah's flood. As soon as the waters abated, the earth brought forth at God's command. In number seven, there was no continual abating of the waters off the earth. But in Noah's flood, the waters abated. There's no mention of the waters abating in Jeremiah 4. The waters were taken off the earth in one day in this flood. It took months for the waters to subside. And Noah sent out, I think it was a raven the first time because he was a stronger flyer. And then finally, towards the end, he sent out a dove. And then finally, the dove brought back a branch showing that the earth was beginning to sprout again. And then finally, the dove took off and did not return. And then God told man to leave the ark. Number nine is the supernatural work of taking waters off the earth in the Jeremiah flood, which is also Genesis 1, 6 through 12. The natural work of evaporation removed the waters in Noah's flood. So that's nine so far. We're getting kind of picky here, but it's really the truth. God rebuked the waters in Genesis, but no rebuking of the waters in Noah's flood. The waters hasted away in, it's actually Psalms 104:7 if you want to read it, but the waters were taken away in one day in the Genesis when God came and restored life again. He says, let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear, you see. The waters gradually receded. That's number 11. Now, God set a bounds for the waters. That's in Psalms 104:9. But here in the Noah story, the bounds had already been set. Now in 13, in that flood, the earth that was overflowed at that time, that's in 2 Peter, perished. There was no fish life left. But in Noah's flood, there's no mention of any fish being destroyed. As a matter of fact, whoa, more water. Let's swim around a bit here. So the fish were loving that one. And in the Jeremiah, this is number 14, all the birds of the heavens had fled. In the Noah story, the fowls were preserved. And that's in Genesis 6:20. In the Jeremiah disaster, no animals were left, but of course, the animals were spared in Noah's flood. No man left in Jeremiah 4:23, but eight souls were saved by water in Noah's flood. You see, there's a huge difference here. In that number 17, no social system left in 2 Peter 3:6 and Jeremiah 4:23. But there was a social system left on the earth in Noah's flood. We can get into the details later on. I'm just telling you the basic things that we have found. No ark mentioned in the Jeremiah flood. And that's also in 2 Peter that men today, actually it says this in 2 Peter 3, that men today are willingly ignorant that the earth is of old and the earth standing in the water and out of the water and the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. It cannot be Noah's flood. This had to be a worldwide disaster, and it destroyed the world that then was. Let's see. No ark made Noah's flood. Of course, there was an ark. The cause of the fall was Satan. In Jeremiah, he made the world a wilderness and overthrew the cities. You see, it even mentions the cities falling. There's no mention there. There's probably 21 now. And the cause of Noah's flood was the wickedness of man. It grieved God that he had made man, that they were violent, that they were wicked, and they had perverted their ways on the earth. The result became necessary to make new fish, fowls, lands. In other words, God overthrew the creation that then was and reestablished it. Now, in Genesis, the same word is used for Noah. Noah was told to replenish the earth, and guess what was told to Adam? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Exactly the same Hebrew word. Noah was told to replenish. Adam was told to replenish. Whoa, light bulb's going on. And so the restoration or the new creation is found, of course, after the gap. And that is found in Genesis 1, verses 2, and so on, where he created the animals and the fish. But in Noah's flood, those animals that God had already created were restored, or they just replenished the earth. Now I think there's 21 differences between those two floods or those two catastrophes. Now in Jeremiah 4, it does not state that the earth was destroyed by water. It just said it had perished. In 2 Peter 3, we'll read 4 through 8. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. And this is where I believe I was ignorant as a Christian, and the scientists were right, that the earth is old. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And I think that is the worldwide flood that lasted for some time, and it froze. And we'll read Job, that the earth had become frozen. The world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now. Now that same heaven, the same heavens and the same earth are the same ones from Adam and Eve. You see, they have not changed. The same heavens and the same earth. They were inundated with water for a year and that's all. Well, they had a flood in Katrina. It doesn't mean that New Orleans has ceased to exist. Here's a year and they're still trying to rebuild it, you see. the heavens and the earth which are now. They're different than the world that then was. That's in verse 6. And it was destroyed by being overflowed with water. Scientists have told us there are two major floods. And one lasted for a long time because there are seashells and coral reefs way up high in the mountains. Anyway, the heavens which are now are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Twice God flooded the earth, and that's why in Noah's time he made a bow in the sky, the rainbow, and it was a covenant between God and man that he would not again flood the earth. But the last time, the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Now, scientists all said, well, that's foolishness. The elements cannot burn because God says the elements are going to burn, until they invented the atomic bomb. And whoa, they realized that God means what he says, and again proved the Bible right, that these elements are going to burn. The heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And I think that is enough on that one. I'm going to read Jeremiah 4, 23. It's mainly 28. This is, if you want to read it yourself, it's 23 through 28. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken, I have purposed it. I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. And in this flood, this catastrophic flood, the earth, the heavens were black, just like it lines up exactly with the restoration. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I cannot imagine them being black and waste and void with God creating it. They were light, and they were a delight, because the morning stars sang and the sons of God shouted for joy because their new home was created, you see. And it appears that men were here before, in the first creation, men were here before the earth was created. It's like you waiting for your house to be built, and you walk in there and the light's all light and the house is just absolutely perfect, and you're going to shout for joy when that new house is built. But in Adam's restoration, the earth had already been here. It had already fallen. It was black. And when the Spirit of God visits the earth, it is black and it is void. Because I have spoken, I have purposed it, I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. But look at what it says, the earth, because of this, the earth mourns. And also in Isaiah 33, 9, it says the earth mourns and languishes. Did you know that the scientists have found the earth emits a low frequency hum? They have found this out. This is an article in the Oregonian, Wednesday, October 6th, 2004. Isn't that fun? Oh, here's a fun one. This is an article around a house. This is this old house. Oh, this is great. A lustrous past. Pharaoh's plumbing. Archaeologists at the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt found copper tubing for plumbing that was still in working condition after 5,000 years. Now tell me, our plumbing has gotten better. I don't think so. I'm in a house that's 3 years old, and I'm having to replace all the valves, all the off and on valves under the sink and under the toilets and so on. And here is plumbing that still works, and it's 5,000 years old. You see, all of our theories of evolution, they think that we have gotten smarter and smarter, and these old relics of the past show that some civilizations did things that we cannot do today. They were certainly not behind us because they had copper plumbing. If you lived in Rome at the time of Christ, you had hot and cold running water. You had lights in your apartment. I took Latin for 4 years in high school, and I remember reading about all this. They had sewer facilities that would pipe the sewage out of their houses and so on. It was quite amazing. Now, I promised you I'd read you Job about the possibility of God talking about an ice age. Who has divided the watercourse? This is Job 38, 25 through 30. Who has divided a water course for the overflowing of waters or a way for the lightning of thunder to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is? See, this, I'm thinking, is around Jeremiah 4. On the wilderness, remember, Satan made the earth a wilderness. There was no man. I beheld the earth, and it was quaking, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. That's Jeremiah 4. There was no man, and it's raining on the earth. And to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, it had become tohu va-bohu. Because of Satan, he made the world a wilderness. And to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth, has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? And who has gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. I wonder if this is not the condition. I can't say this for a fact, but I wonder if this is not the condition of the earth. It's dark, and reason would tell us it's frozen. The earth is a solid, frozen mass until the Holy Spirit visits the earth after its fall and life again comes to the earth. God restores it. I believe that Genesis 1, 2, and so on is the restoration of the earth, and Adam is told to replenish it. Then God floods the earth because of man's wickedness, and man is again told to replenish the earth. I'm going to go over one last thing before we close here. God is a great lawgiver. This is Isaiah 33, 22. The following is a quotation from Civilization Past and Present, and this is man's attempt to explain evolution. Our own galaxy, which we remember is but a tiny part of the universe, has probably existed a million, million years. Some progress is made in an attempt to explain how and when the sun and its nine planets came into being. The study of the solar system gives us at least a clue to the origin of that part of the universe most important to us, Earth. The explanation commonly accepted is called the hypothesis of dynamic encounter, formulated about 1900 by T.B. Chamberlain and F.R. Moulton of the University of Chicago. In brief, it suggests. So here you have words in evolution, and they teach this as a fact. Probably progress has been made, an attempt to explain, at least a clue, the explanation commonly accepted, and hypothesis of dynamic encounter. Hypothesis means we guess. Good luck. And they start with that, and that is the basis of evolution. And it always begins with pre-existing matter and so on. Time again has come to an end, and we must again say goodbye, but until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.